up, Janelle?
Hey, Bronzy.
How's it going?
It's going.
Is it just going?
Yeah, it's just going. It's going. How about on your end?
It's Black History Month.
It is.
We get an extra day this year.
Yeah.
It's our anniversary month.
It is. We spoke about that, I think, a little bit on the last episode, maybe?
Yeah, I think we mentioned it.
A little.
So yeah. those are positives.
And look at you looking at the glass half full. Okay.
I try. Sometimes that is the fuel that we need. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fair.
But yeah, it's going on this front as well. It's been a turbulent couple of weeks. It's just been busy. And I don't know if, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean bad. It's been busy and it's been hard. Yeah, sometimes being busy and like having deadlines and trying to push through stuff and not having figure things out, it is stress inducing. Mm-hmm. It's been turbulent.
Yeah, I even think like when it comes to balancing work with like your social life and all this kind of stuff, you know, like I think back on the past couple of weeks and I'm like, yeah, I've been real busy too, but like not all of it was work busy, but it didn't feel any less.
Yeah.
Stressful. Yeah,
that's true. That's true. Yeah. And now, you know, this whole talk around, there's this blend between work and life and there's not really any distinction or separation between the two. It's like you're doing personal things during work hours now. And sometimes you're doing work things during personal hours. And I'm like, who came up with this? What happened to the days when it was work? And then beyond that, it was no longer.
I'll tell you what happened. COVID happened. And we started working from home and homing from work and, you know, all that kind of stuff, which is why, like, I'm, as much as I hate to admit it, and like, I understand that I'm about to like say this on record, I don't hate going into the office a couple days a week, a couple hours of the day, you know what I mean? Because it does create that separation or that distinction. Now, do I bring on those days work home sometimes? Sure. But I think it makes it a little bit easier for me to kind of like compartmentalize and have some sense of boundaries.
Yeah, that's true. It just feels like the days of the 40-hour work week are gone.
Oh, no, that's been done.
I'd be like, what happened? But maybe it's also the field and industry we're in, where that's just not as possible as it used to be.
Yeah, I don't think I was working a 40-hour work week before COVID, though.
Well, yeah, I think it's also very different for you being on the agency side. Like,
true.
That's
I was like,
that's a different conversation and a different vantage point. So,
yeah,
Yeah, lots of things happened over the last couple of weeks since the last time we sat down and talked. Are you ready to dive in to Above the Fold?
Let's do it.
All right. So I know we're like by the time this comes out, about 2 weeks removed. But we have to talk about something around there, the Super Bowl and all the happenings the not happenings that
all took the
place.
Black happenings, at least, you know,
all the black happenings. Was it a lot of black happenings? I felt like from the spot standpoint.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. Gotcha.
You see what's on this list?
Okay. Right. Okay. Yeah. So I think we would be remiss not to start this conversation with the man himself, Usher Raymond.
Yes. Usher. Basically, I mean, you know, besides the football that was happening, right? And both of us are football fans. Neither one of our teams were in the game.
Right.
I didn't really have, you know, like this one was a little challenging for me because I don't know anything about the Niners. And then what I do know about the Chiefs makes me want to root against them. So I was just like, I'm just here for a halftime. And I guess I want Mahomes to win again because, you know, technically, it's Black History Month and like technically, you know, it was hard. It was rough.
Yeah, there was no technicality for me wanting him to win. I'm just a Mahomes hater. Like, I can't deny his skill set and how amazing he is. Mm-hmm. It's literally, and I have no problem admitting, it's me hating. I think it's the same effect that I had with Tom Brady. I also had it with, rest in peace, Kobe Bryant. But I never denied his skill set, his ability, his mentality, all those things. I was just a hater because my team couldn't beat him. So yeah, I think it's a little bit
your
of that. Team,
but I mean, okay, so this is something that I do. And I know like everybody in my family does it too. It's just like, I'm always going to root for the team that has a black quarterback. And if there is no black quarterback, that has a black coach. And then if you don't have a black coach and you're not the Dolphins, then like...
It don't matter. Like yeah, really at that point, yeah, I get that too. But for this one, like because the Eagles is my team and they beat us in the Super Bowl, and then yeah, it just became like I don't want him to win again. Yeah. So, but outside of that, it was a Usher concert in the middle of a football game for me.
Yeah,
and there was lots of anticipation for this concert. And it was amazing. He delivered in every way that was possible. His mic was on. He was dancing his ass off. The characters, the design, the hits, the catalog.
The catalog. Okay.
And the transitions, the fashions.
The fashions.
And then also bringing the Vegas element into it as well. It was just... perfect. It could not have been any better for me.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think like from the moment that it was announced that he was going to be the halftime performer, it just made so much sense being in Vegas and all of the notoriety and press and stuff that he had got from his Vegas residency. Still yeah. sad that I didn't make that. That's biggest regret of 2023 for sure. But I think it was a lot of things like leading up to the moment. For one, what is this? The second year now, second or third year that the halftime show is sponsored by Apple versus what it used to be sponsored by Pepsi.
Mm-hmm.
And I think from a music standpoint and an entertainment standpoint, it makes so much sense. And like what Apple is able to do in that lane from yeah. the rollout, the lead up to, you know, to promotion for the artists and all of that kind of stuff. It's the past couple of halftime shows that were sponsored by Apple, I think have gotten the most bang for their buck. No pun intended, because yeah. they don't get paid, right? There is no buck. But I think have gotten the most out of this opportunity. So,
yeah.
Did you see the spots that Apple Music put out ahead of this, like the lead up when they were like, oh, where is Usher?
Yes, I did see that. I was a little confused by that, though.
I was, too. And now, so I'll say this. I loved the sentiment. What do I want to say? That they did something. That they did some kind of rollout and... I wasn't even mad at the premise of like, where is Usher? Because I thought they could have done some cool stuff with that kind of alluded to who was going to be performing with him or what songs were going to be performed. Everybody was debating like, what's going to be the set list. But when the story actually played out, I was kind of scratching my head a little bit. I'm like, Blue Man Group, Criss Angel, he's in a fountain singing to the girl. Like, I don't get how,
yeah,
what it, we were supposed that, to get
that,
from
that. That part did fall flat because even still, I'm left like, where's the connecting? Where did we find, like, we found him, but what's, I don't know. It just didn't.
Yeah.
And then he was also in the, I mean, this is separate, but BMW also did a spot with him where they were just promoting that brand and they were in the restaurant. And
that's the one with like Christopher Walken's in it.
Right, no? You know, it was like, don't you have somewhere to be? And then he got up and was like, yeah.
Yeah, that was Christopher Walken's, wasn't it?
Oh, that was him? Oh, I don't know.
The whole commercial followed Christopher Walken's up until that point. No? We talking about the same commercial?
Is it a BMW commercial?
Yeah.
Christopher Walken's?
I think that's his name, right? Angelina Jolie's daddy?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. We're good.
Well, you know, I know I'm not good on my white people, but I think I know that one.
I know a couple, and I think that's one. Okay, cool. And then also the performance itself, he also brought Atlanta to the Super Bowl. It was a very much a cultural moment for Atlanta.
Yeah. I was just happy that he did Superstar because I got into so many arguments in the week leading up, including with my mother, who swore up and down, ain't no way
he was going to do Superstar.
Yeah, she was like, That's what I tried to tell her. I'm like, that's one of his biggest songs. She's like, this is the Super Bowl. And what, you know, like, you got to do the upbeat. Da, 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 da. And I'm like, then don't get Usher. Like,
yeah. He did a phenomenal job of putting in like his slower tempo songs, even if they were like just the transition moments to go into something else. And then having her be a part of that. And like, she was the element of, you know, Superstar. Needed My Way, like it just also reminded you of his catalog, and like these songs still stand today.
They do
on their own. Like these records are, and then he did like he went to Confessions. Like, what?
I will say, you know, you earlier when you were setting this up, you talked about the mic being on, and you know where I'm headed. Tell Amadi to plug his ears right now. Because his mic was not the only mic that was on, unfortunately.
Janelle, you know,
I'm just saying, what did I say in the chat beforehand? I said, he better leave her home, and they better leave that damn piano at home, too. And sure enough, she pulled up with the piano, singing a song that wasn't even an Usher song. How you gonna crack on the first note? And this ain't even the big song you came here to sing. Sis, she looked good, though. She looked good.
She looked good, and the piano was amazing as well.
It was, but I was just, and they spent a lot of time doing that and My Boo, and I'm like, we could have got a little bit more of this song, a little bit more of that song. It just kind of like threw the pace off a little bit for me.
I mean,
just a little bit.
Okay,
and I think he did that with Lil Jon too, like. When they did Turn Down for What, I'm like, it threw it off just a little bit. I liked how he introed Ludacris. When Ludacris came in, he was performing his verse from but they put a little bit of, I think they like switched up the beat a little bit to like one of his other hits. So you got like a little bit of just him in there too. I think they could have done something like that with some of those transitions. And then, what were you going to say? Because there's one other person I need to make a comment about.
Who is it? You're on a roll. Continue.
JD. Jermaine Dupri. Sir.
What's your comment about him?
What was he wearing? Well, no, I know what he was wearing, but was that a good endorsement? That was a horrible endorsement for the brand. He looked nuts.
Well, listen, maybe he was trying to make a statement. What is that statement? I don't know. But
if I'm Pharrell, you can't make a statement with my clothes. Not that statement.
Here's the thing. It got the streets talking.
Saying what, though?
Somebody's going to go buy those church-adorned girl socks.
People were like, is that CeeLo?
Back to Alicia insane. Keys, please.
Okay, yes.
Okay, so the only thing that I'll say is I think we all collectively had like a collective cultural sigh because we wanted her to just like, okay, cool, great. Like, it's fine. It was fine. But I think there was a collective sigh when that first note came out. And it's, well, for me, it was just like,
no, for me too.
But Amadi had made a great point.
You don't have to be a musician to hear that was the wrong note. Let me just say. But go ahead.
I don't know.
What was Amadi's
point? And
then
did you see the? He said, "Well, she just got off tour."
Cop and please, of course he was.
I mean, he's trying to find the benefit of doubt for her. That's his girl, and I understand. But I said, well, She had to sing for 15 seconds. Getting off tour, you could have rested your voice for 3 days for this moment. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I don't know. I don't understand it.
Question for you.
I've also never performed in front of 300,000 or a billion people worldwide either. So
true. But a lot of other people have done it too, and their voice didn't crack. But whatever. Question for you though. Because I'm trying to figure out, like, when did it go astray? Like when did she lose it? Is it that she tries to sing outside of her range?
Yeah. And she still sings the same songs. Like, I feel like before, when she recorded these songs, she probably had a broader range, or at least her voice could live up there a little longer. Mm-hmm. Whereas now, that's just not her vocal range anymore. Well, seemingly.
Exactly.
And she continues to want to sing up there. I feel like if she brought the key down and still did the same songs, like, it would be fine.
Yeah. And I'm like, you know, when they got to My Boo, like, okay, I get it. He's not going to come to the Super Bowl and not sing My Boo. That was one of his biggest hits. She was on the track. It was a great song. I noticed when they got to My Boo, though, she was singing like in a lower register. It sounded fine. It sounded great. But it was like, anytime I see her perform anywhere else, she wants to go up here and the voice just don't reach.
That's what it is. That's what it is. And I don't know why she doesn't recognize that. Mm-hmm. And to be a musician, like, I mean, I think she's a great musician. I think she's a great artist. I think she's a great composer. Like I said, I think Alicia Keys is a musical genius. I just don't understand the disconnect of when she goes to sing, why she wants to put everything in a high alto when she's not.
Yeah.
At least not for a long period of time. But
right.
Listen.
Enough on her. Enough on Alicia Keys, I guess.
Have you listened to Usher's album?
I have not yet. I have not listened to it, but I also have not heard great things. Is that fair?
Okay.
No,
it's not fair. Okay. And this is my issue with the critics. Everybody wants to be a critic and wants to find a hole in somebody's... It's fine. Mm-hmm. I listened to it. I enjoyed it. Is it my favorite Usher album? No. Are there bops on there that I'm like, oh, I like this? Absolutely. Are there some songs that I'm like, oh, I could have did without? But as a complete body of work, I can put it on and enjoy it for what has been delivered and presented. So for that, I enjoy it.
Okay, so then question, because he also announced that he's going on tour, and I'm assuming the tour is, well, it's probably going to be a lot of the, I think it's called like past, present, and future, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a lot of his old stuff. It is in support or promotion of the new album, and the tickets cost a lot of money. My thing is, I'm on the fence, because again, I'm sad that I missed the Vegas residency, which probably was the show that I needed to see. Mm-hmm. I don't care how good the new songs are. I don't want to see that on tour.
Well, like you said, you're going to get a mix. And I think he understands that. That with his stardom and his star power and his catalog, anybody that comes to see him, they're not just going to want to hear this new music. We're going to want to hear what you did at the Super Bowl. We're going to want to hear what you did.
But I need the song to be longer than what you did at the Super Bowl. I don't want to hear.
Well, he's going to have more than 15 minutes on tour.
He does a little 15 minutes of the old shit and then on to the new album. I'll be pissed. I'd be really upset.
Well, I mean, I'm going to the tour. I think I'm going to enjoy it. I'll let you know if I go before you.
Okay, well then, yeah, that'll determine whether I buy the, well,
but no, how can
Miami
you say you feel like you
DC? Because I'm going to Miami.
But how do you say you wish you saw him at the residency, but you're unsure about tour?
Because the tour is going to be, at least part of the time, is going to be devoted to the new album.
But you don't even know what the new album sounds like.
Yeah, but I mean, the fact that, you know, everybody ain't cranking it out their car and I haven't heard it yet, just in passing and all that kind of stuff, leads me, and I've heard mixed reviews, leads me to believe that it ain't really hitting for much. Is what, good, is that even on there? Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
that was probably the lead single. Have you heard Ruin?
No. That's a single?
Okay. Yeah.
No. Also, he had that song Glue. I heard Glue's not on there, but I didn't really like that song to begin with.
I don't know Glue. Hey, give it a listen. Give it a spin. Put it on as background music.
Or not. I will. No, I will.
I mean, don't you listen to like Spotify playlists? They should at least have something going. Anyway, it's good. Take a listen. Let's revisit this conversation next episode. I want to know like how you feel about it.
Okay. That's fair.
It's R&B. We have to talk about the queen.
We should just have like a segment on this podcast because we literally talk about the queen every episode. And I'm not mad at it.
I mean, why not? Why wouldn't we have a segment dedicated to the queen? I mean, she continues to fuel and feed and give us things to talk about, give us things to dive into and to study. She is her team, however you want to position it, her empire. They're marketing and rollout geniuses. And I don't want to hear a hot take today, Janelle.
I don't have a hot take. We've said that before on the podcast.
Cool. I just want to make sure that we're setting the stage for the conversation that is about to commence.
Okay.
And she has shown us this time and time and time and time again. And it's just amazing that she continues to give us Easter eggs. And you don't know it's an Easter egg until after the fact.
Yeah.
But, so we saw a spot, Verizon ad. Mm-hmm. Leading up to the Super Bowl.
They definitely were teasing.
Teases, you know, the guy squeezing the lemons, saying like, hold up, she wants me to squeeze all of these by myself. Mm-hmm. And then also the green screen with Beyonce's horse. Saying like, should we go to the Super Bowl? Yay or nay?
Yeah, sorry.
We're like, what is this? This is clearly.
Can you get down?
He said, I got something to say too. We talking about the queen.
Like he is scratching the shit clearly, out of my arm.
Clearly, Beyonce endorsed or something's coming.
Yeah.
And then you know it just caused a lot of like, oh, what is this? Because we also saw some spots on social where Verizon was at the Sphere. In Vegas, like talking about a partnership. So it's like, okay, is she announcing like a residency? What is it?
Yeah, that's what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I did too. And then we get the spot. Yeah. What was this, during the third quarter?
It was definitely after
Usher.
Yeah, it was. It was like early third quarter.
Yeah.
And
was it two part? Am I missing that?
No, I don't think so.
It was two part because the first part was just her going like through, like can Beyonce break Verizon, right? Because Beyonce can break internet, right. So can she break 5G or Verizon or whatever? So, Amadi said the first one was right after the halftime, and it was like the tease of the ad came. So it's essentially it was like all of these things to see can Beyonce break Verizon, and ultimately at the end of it, it was like, okay, they ready, drop the new music.
Yes. And then nothing happened, right? So that's everybody was scrambling, right? Everybody goes like waiting for drop the new music. Mm-hmm. The music dropped I think on Tidal first, and then eventually on all the other streaming services by the end of the game. So you didn't have to wait too long. But question for you, before we get into the music and everything, and get into the whole business side of the thing. Do you think that Verizon got the bang for their buck out of this? I heard that, okay, obviously we know that to run a 30-second spot on the Super Bowl was $7 million this year. And then I think they paid her another $30 million on top of that. And yeah, Did Verizon get their bang for their buck?
That, I don't know. I don't know. I couldn't tell you that. I feel like there are probably additional things on the back end that we maybe are unaware to, or unaware of, because I think there's also some sort of partnership through, and I could be getting this wrong. I don't know. Let me think about that a little bit more. On paper, reading it off like that, it doesn't feel like it, because it's like, what are you gaining?
Right. I think everybody
that much money.
Right. I think everybody up until the Spot launch was talking about Verizon. I kept talking, you know, that everybody called it the Verizon commercial, the Verizon commercial, the Verizon commercial. Once the Spot aired and the music dropped, it was just the Beyonce country songs. You know, it was less about Verizon at that point. I think they kind of got left in the dust a little bit.
So what if it is still on the table? We don't know yet. The whole idea of a residency.
It could very well.
What if that's soon to come and it is powered by Verizon? Right.
Or,
and that's
all like part Verizon, of like
a broader deal.
Right. Verizon customers get access to the pre-sale. You know, we don't know yet. I'm just saying from what we know at the moment, I hope there's more. I hope there's more in store for Verizon. But I think that's true. Brilliant on Beyonce's part, right? Like, and I think that this is kind of going to be the model that we see a lot more of, where brands are paying artists to say what they were going to say anyway. Like, she was going to release this music with or without Verizon, but you want to pay me $30 million to release what I was going to release anyway? Sure, I'll take your money.
And to do it on the biggest, you know, where we got the biggest, most eyeballs on screens worldwide. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that we're going to see a lot less of manufactured moments by brands, and a lot more just like brands being used by these artists and celebs as a platform to share what they already were working on or had in motion.
That makes sense. I mean, or does it? Does it make sense for the brand, especially if you?
I mean, they got to. That's up to them.
When you're talking about like the Beyonce level, and you got to come out $30 million in order to do it.
Yeah, I mean that's for them to decide. You know, whatever their budgets and goals and what their product is or service that they're pushing, but.
Yeah, it is. But like you said, on Beyonce's part, it's like, give me $30 million. I get to release my music and promote it in this way. And I was going to do that anyway. Mm-hmm. And you fronting the bill with like the promotion and the Spot and all that. Sign me up.
To be completely honest, I was surprised she was in the Spot to begin with. Like, really? I didn't expect to see her actually in the Spot. I think it was going to allude to her, or like maybe even make direct mention of her. But I've just seen so many like ads or worked with brands where like because I can't say too much. It could be a product that is like developed with that person. But when it comes time to get them in the actual Spot, that's a whole other business stream, whole other talks of money, whole other thing. Mm. And it's just like, sometimes you don't get the athlete or the artist or whatever, or, you know, to come
but
through your
event. But
that's
probably where that $30 million came into play.
Right. But I'm just saying, you know, this is somebody who, like, we haven't really seen her do anything outside of Parkwood produced stuff. We'll get into this in a minute, but she doesn't do interviews anymore. She doesn't, you know, so to see her in a commercial, mm-hmm. For
very a 2000s coded for her.
Yeah, I was really shocked to actually see her in the Spot. I thought we were going to see the lemonade stand and the crystal.
But see, I think she knows, at least for her fan base, what that does. Like the visibility and seeing her in the Spot, it carries a bit more weight than if they were just referencing her and then being like, new music by Beyonce out now. It's like, oh yay, but It's a different element when you're actually seeing her and she's speaking to you.
Right. But that's always been the case. And that hasn't stopped her from not speaking.
But I think when you talk about a day that's the Super Bowl, there's a different weight that comes along with you actually speaking rather than just allowing the brand to make reference to you.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. That's probably why she did it. But I mean, I it doesn't change the fact I was still shocked to see her. Happy to see her.
Yeah.
I thought it was 50-50 whether we were going to see her or not in that capacity, like acting. You know what I mean? Like. Yeah. She wasn't just in there. She was in there acting in different scenes. Like, that was a production that was not just a Parkwood production. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, she didn't orchestrate.
She had to clock herself. In and work.
Exactly.
To make that happen. $30 million. I'll do it too. What do you think of the music? We got Texas Hold'em.
I'm a country fan.
And we got 16 Carriages.
I'm a country fan. I didn't know I was one until the Super Bowl, but... I like them. Like, so I'm not a country fan. So here's the thing. I'm not a country fan. On its face, I think there are a couple of songs that I like, you know, that I've liked previously, or for whatever reason they've crossed my radar and I'm like, oh, that's a cute little bop, whatever. But I like what she's doing as far if she is reclaiming Black music like she did with House for Act 1, Country Act 2, and what they're predicting rock for Act 3. I've been singing Texas Hold'em to myself. You know, I catch myself singing it. I like 16 Carriages too. So we'll see. I like them both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like them both. I don't consider myself a country music fan. Like, I don't have like, oh, this is my favorite country song or my favorite country album or this era of country. Like, I'm not an avid fan where I know country music in that way in detail. I have appreciated, like you said, if I hear a song that I'll be like, oh, I like this, add it to my playlist. And then, yeah, I have a couple of country artists that I do know, but I don't know their catalog like that.
Right.
But yeah, I have been listening to Texas Hold'em, 16 Carriages. I love hearing Beyonce in different spaces just because I feel like she's able to go into different genres and execute well. I feel like there aren't tons of artists that are able to do that. That's one thing that I've always appreciated about Beyonce's artistry is how dynamic it is. So I'm excited to hear the full album. I'm glad she gave us two songs at one time, especially in a new space or a new genre for her. Like it's one that's more fun and up-tempo, and then it's one that's more storytelling and emotional. So it gives you two opposite ends of the spectrum as an introduction to say like, this is what Act 2 is going to be about. So I appreciate that aspect from an artist standpoint too, kind of like teasing and saying, okay, this is what we're about to do. This is what y'all in for. So yeah, if she goes back on tour, that's going to be insane and crazy. Mm-hmm. Not that that's unheard of from artists, but it's unheard of from Beyonce to do that like so fast.
Like, that's a lot of wear and tear on like your body, no?
Yeah, but I feel like these three acts, if she goes this hard and the timing is like this same timing, like from Renaissance to Act 2 and then from Act 2 to Act 3, and it's the same kind of like... I'm afraid of an R word happening.
Me too.
Or an evolution. But I mean, evolution. She's been giving us this for 25 years at this point. Yeah. Like, I don't think she'll completely go away. But as far as like being like, oh, I need to do this album or this is my next era and all that, I feel like we may not get that the same way. But an artist will always be an artist. So you never know. And I feel like I don't see Beyonce just being like, I'm not doing music anymore.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I'm excited though.
Yeah. Same. What are your hopes for Act 3? So everybody is like, it's either going to be she's doing this whole like reclaiming Black music and like the third act is going to be rock and roll. But some people think it might be R&B. What do you think?
I think it's going to be rock. It's going to be rock. Mm-hmm. Just from that initial Vogue interview where she was teasing and saying it's a 3-act project. And she gave us like photos of disco, country, nod, and then like a rock. Mm-hmm. So looking into that, it feels like those are three distinct Easter eggs that we can go off of.
Yeah,
I would love for it to be R&B just because I'm an R&B head, but I feel like it's going to be rock. And I hope that she turns me into a rock fan, if that's the case, where I'm like, I ain't never really liked rock. But also historically, I feel like Beyonce's rock inspired songs have not been my favorite.
Okay. I can only think of rock inspired songs on like Lemonade, right?
Yeah, like Six Inch Heels. Yeah. Maybe.
I didn't mind that.
Yeah, she got a couple out there.
Yeah.
But like I said, Beyonce, she has a way of being able to go into a genre and be like, look, see, you didn't even know that this is possible. So. Mm-hmm. I also hope that she brings along some people that have been in this space, and she kind of like highlights and elevates them, whether it's from a songwriting standpoint, a feature standpoint, opening act standpoint, something.
Yeah.
Especially if she's talking about reclaiming these genres. I think she did that well within Renaissance, especially bringing like different houses and people of the culture, a ballroom culture, and bringing them to the forefront. And you know, the whole queer spaces. So I hope there's some more of that that's done as well.
Yeah, and I think there's already kind of like signs of that. Number one, that's just kind of how she operates. And then I think she worked with like a black, like a very prominent black. What instrument is that? Is it still a violin if it's country, or is it a fiddle? What do they call that thing? Does it automatically? Yeah, maybe banjo. That's what I'm thinking about. I'm like, what they call that thing over when it's country? It was like a famous like or a prominent black
viola.
No, I think it was banjo. I think you were right.
I think she played the banjo and the viola.
Okay. Well, yeah. So there's already signs of her bringing in
Rhiannon Giddens.
Yeah, yeah. Bringing in people who are.
She played both.
Yeah, who are important in that space. So shout out to the new music. Are you going to learn any line dances?
I sure am. I'm going to get me some boots and get me my... Okay, now one thing, I was talking to one of my friends earlier this weekend. Mm-hmm. He was saying, okay, now like Beyonce, we get it, but I don't need to see a cowboy hat on every single look. Like we get it. And I think you can still deliver.
Yeah. Also, did she not like kind of... because she had the cowboy hat during the first act too. And it's just like, well, dang, girl, like if you knew Act Two was coming, you could have saved the cowboy hat and we could have had something else on. But I mean, I guess, you know, it's efficient. It's people already kind of have their silver cowboy hats.
Yeah, she's been giving you the cowboy hats from before, even in Act One, the whole chrome.
Yeah, exactly.
Cowboy hat.
But yeah, that cowboy hat and that bolo tie, she gonna have both of them on together to let you know this is country.
The cowboy hat and bolo tie to let you know, baby, this is country. I am in my country era. So in case y'all forget, this is to let you know. This is a statement.
Yeah. Well, staying on Beyonce, but shifting gears a little bit past the Super Bowl. She finally released, she and her mother finally released the hair care line, Sacred. Did you see that?
I did see Sacred has been launched. It's available, I think, starting tomorrow.
Okay.
At the time of this recording. I did see it, and I appreciate how much backstory around the inspiration that we are getting. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like without that, it would have been a hard selling for a lot of folks. And it still is, if you have your ear to the streets. But my POV is, and I think you have to be a Beyonce fan to know these things. Beyonce has hair. She has healthy hair.
She does.
She has edges. She has volume. She has all the things. But what I want to say is, like, people be like, she don't even wear her hair. So how's she putting out a hair care line and things of that sort? But then also, like, Tina, Mama Tina, mm-hmm. you know, that was that her doing hair and her attachment to hair and, like, that whole aspect of their lives is how they funded their lives for a period of time when, you know, Matthew quit his job and...
That's you know the whole history. All right, take us back.
It is. It is. They talked about
Ward,
it.
Ward Houston.
Okay, you know, let me be your tour guide. But it goes to show, like, and then Beyonce talked about, like, when she was a younger girl, what would she say? Her dad would oil her scalp sometimes. And even now, she still takes time for these self-care rituals and makes spaces for them. And she makes sure she does something to her hair every night. Mm-hmm. So it shows that she does have investment in, like, skin in the game when it comes to her hair. Now, where we lack as, like, the consumer base is outside of these stories. When you go into a spread in Essence, we don't really know these things. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where, like, some of the disconnect may be coming from. But this is an opportunity for us to get an inside look.
Yeah.
Into Wait, those things.
Are you saying that we don't know that going into the Essence interview? Did you read the... I haven't finished reading the article, but does she not address that stuff in the article?
She does. I'm saying prior to going into the article, you wouldn't know.
Got you.
But yeah, it seems exciting. It seems like it's very on brand for Beyonce, but it seemed like she was really invested in crafting and taking, like, the history of Black women taking care of their hair and the things that worked, and then tying it to research and science and adapting it to innovation.
Yeah. And I would say,
what do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that, you know, it makes sense for her and her mother, more specifically, to venture down this path. I will still say, like, Black hair care is a very saturated market. And we've talked about this before, like, the celebrity backed hair care lines, like,
kind of hair care and skincare.
Yeah, they're kind of hit or miss, right? So we'll see. I love the branding. I love the packaging. There were a couple products. I think there was, like, a hair oil. I'm like, okay, I might give that a try. We'll see. But I think what really pushed me to, at first I was just like, I'm not buying this. Like, I just don't need it. Mm-hmm. But once I saw the Essence cover, I was more excited about the product. And that's just because number one, like, she did an interview. She did an interview with Essence. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, in Essence, like, with the E, like the Black one, not the boutique up in Canada.
Right.
the imagery was just, they killed that shit. Like, Shiona on styling, Andre Wagner with the camera. It was chef's kiss, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was beautifully shot. I like them. It's so on brand for Beyonce to include her mother and her daughters.
You think those are her daughters in that in that picture?
Hmm?
You think that was Blue and Rumi in that picture?
I took it at face value. I didn't, like, be like, is that them? And zoom in and do a whole calculation. Maybe it wasn't. I looked at the photo one time.
Well, it's supposed to represent them. So, well.
You don't think it was them?
I don't think so, but I don't think it matters.
Wait, where are you? Here's the hot take.
Is Janelle. It really a hot take? If it were them, I think they would have showed their face.
But why would they not use them?
Because they weren't there. I don't think that's them.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Maybe it wasn't. You're right. That makes sense. Like, why wouldn't they show their face if it was them? And now that I'm looking at it, we don't know when this was taken, but if that's blue, it looks like it's older. But I don't know. Janelle, why am I thinking about this? Like, I think it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. I didn't say it was anything wrong with it.
It's them. It's them.
Okay. I'm sorry that I, like, just asked the question. But no. That shot, I love that shot. I think my favorite, I don't know, it's really hard because I like the one with her and her mom like with the braid draped over her mom's arm. But I think my favorite of the bunch is her with, like, in the blue with the shades and the hair, like, being blown upward. That is,
yeah,
that's fire.
I also like Mama Tina's portrait a lot, too.
Yeah.
And I like the one with Beyonce on the ground when she's laying on the blue carpet and she's, like, taking up the full frame. That's probably my fave.
Okay, yeah. I see what you're talking about.
But yeah. Shout out to Queen Mother B. We live. And she's been outside.
She has been.
But yeah.
Cool. I think the last...
Do you want to talk about your favorite person?
Don't do that. Don't do that. That is not my favorite person. By a long shot. But I thought that just because it was getting a lot of buzz on social, it made sense to talk about. But apparently Kanye had a Super Bowl ad. I didn't see it. It didn't air where I live. But apparently... I
didn't see it either.
Yeah, and I'm...
I mean, I saw it after the fact because I had to look it up, but I didn't see it air.
Basically, the only reason I even knew this happened was because there was a graphic going around that showed how much he sold off of the Super Bowl ad. So I guess the whole thing was like, he paid $7 million for a Super Bowl spot or however much it costs to run a regional spot. And then... it's just him talking direct to camera, selling product for $20 a pop, and he made a whole bunch of revenue off of that.
Yeah, I saw that. I did buy some pods.
You did?
With the intent. Yes, I did. I did.
Oh, because they were who's they were whose $20. Fan now? Okay, all right.
Well, no. $20. They were $20 each. I bought 5 pair, and I'm going to hold on to them and resell them.
Okay.
Listen,
okay.
If they're still available, I would advise you to do the same because
sounds like a fan to me.
I'm not wearing them. I'm doing this to profit. Now, while this may profit Kanye in some little small, minute way,
just a little bit.
Listen, they're $20. I'm sure that is not adding to his portfolio.
I don't know. That graphic showed a lot of y'all.
Well, you're
caught
right.
Benefit him just a little bit.
Well, don't say anything when I'm selling those 20 pairs.
You shouldn't have told me that, Ronci. That's hilarious. No, you're right. You're right. You know, I'll be outside your door like, can I just get a little crumb?
But yeah, I mean, apparently he didn't spend any money on recording or the spot. Mm-hmm. Like, he recorded into his iPhone saying, like, go to this website and I got clothes, I got shoes, buy it.
Yeah.
And that's what aired. But he spent, what did he say, $7 million, something like that, to air the spot?
Right.
So it's like, did that pay off? Obviously for him, it did.
Yeah. Good for him.
I think that was genius for him to have the forethought or take the risk to be like, I'm not doing some huge spot and I want this to air during the Super Bowl. Like, I'm going to get more traction than I would if I just post this to my social media.
But would he, though? Well, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe today. Today. Kanye West today? Yes, probably. If this were before the shenanigans, I don't know that he necessarily needed the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Whatever. It is what it is. Moving right along. All-Star Weekend. We just came off of All-Star Weekend. It was in Indianapolis. It looked cold. Cold as shit. And
who wants to do that?
Right. I watched the 3-point contest between Steph and Sabrina. Steph Curry won. Cool. I saw the dunk contest. Very lackluster. What's homeboy's name that plays for the Celtics? Jalen. Which one is he? Jalen.
I don't know.
There are a lot of Jalen's.
All I know is
in the
my
league.
Nephew sent me Mac McClung's dunks and said they were really good.
No, well, what is his name? Hold on one second.
I think he won.
Jalen Brown, right. Jalen Brown from the Celtics. He.
I knew that.
Yeah.
I really did know that.
I did too, but I was just like, for some reason, like Hurts kept coming to mind, and I'm like, there's just so many Jalen's. Like, God damn. Pick a new name. But I saw him attempt a dunk where he had Kai Cenat, who is 5 foot nothing, come onto the court and sit down in a chair, and he jumped over him and still missed the dunk. And I'm like, what are we doing here? What are we doing? Like, this is not fun, and this doesn't show you in a positive light. But that's not the real reason why I wanted to talk about All-Star Weekend. The okay. reason I wanted to talk about it is because I watched the All-Star game last night. Shout out to the East, even though nobody was clearly playing defense. The East scored like 210 points or something crazy like that.
Right, that's how they go.
But the halftime show. Why did they have Jennifer Hudson perform the halftime show for NBA All-Star? It made no sense. At first, I was just like, did I switch over to like the Soul Train Awards? What happened? And then my group chat was just like, why did Jennifer Hudson?
What did she sing?
She sang a song that was not Spotlight. That was not Spotlight. Some new song that I didn't. It was, Bronzy, I was fuming. I was fuming because I'm like, yo, the NBA has no strategy. That's what it comes down to. I'm like, at least the NFL, whether I like the strategy or not, they're like, we on this Taylor Swift train. We're going to ride the Taylor Swift train.
Right.
The NBA needs to find them a Taylor Swift-esque strategy. I'm not saying Taylor. I'm not saying, you know, like, please don't go that route.
Don't be surprised when she in the NBA next year.
But God damn, I was just like, who? And then I started thinking, I'm like, the person who booked this, the person who presented her and booked her and like the people who are in charge of programming, they get paid a lot of money.
Right.
And in my last role in experiential, if I said, hey, we got to do an event at All-Star, you know who we need there? Jennifer Hudson. I would have been fired.
You would have had a steep uphill battle to sell that in.
I would have been fired. It wouldn't have been a steep uphill battle. It would have been like, girl, today's your last day. That was nuts.
I did not know that. And that is crazy. That's literally wild.
But shout out to Jennifer Hudson.
I have no words. There's so many other names you could have called.
Right. Because I'm like, okay, she got paid, I guess. And like, I guess she had to, you know, take it, but that made absolutely no sense. And you know how they have the people that come out on the court and, you know, they got to like act like they're into it. Then white people were like, what's going on? Who is this?
I'm okay not to.
Yeah, don't do that.
What did she sing? I'm telling you, in the middle of the halftime show.
Yeah, I can't even tell you the name of the song. At first, I was just like, was that a medley of a couple songs or one long-ass song? I think it was just one long-ass song. I had never heard that song before in my life. But last thing on our list for Above the Fold, and we're a little late on this one, but have you seen Via Ray's social content? Via Ray being Issa Rae's Prosecco brand?
Yes, well, what I've seen... The only thing that I've seen, mm-hmm. which has been retweeted a billion times, is Victoria Monet's husband, our boy partner, mm-hmm. baby daddy, as the bartender.
Shirtless.
Is there more than that?
Yeah, she's done that with a couple of other people. Nobody, I think, of note of, you know, like famous or anything. But it seems to be their cocktail strategy, right? That's what they call it in the business.
Okay.
And how they're presenting the different cocktails that you can make with this Prosecco is by having these shirtless men craft the cocktail for you to replicate, you know, at home. Great strategy. I wish she had more, you know, I'm starting to think like, okay, well, who else can you bring in? Because the last two ones, I'm like, I don't know who these people are. You know, maybe there's somebody's cup of tea. But I'm like, yo, get Daniel from Insecure or Lawrence from Insecure or Nathan from Insecure. You get where I'm, I'm headed here? Just
go to Insecure and pull all the people, men from Insecure.
Yeah. But I thought that was smart, especially the first one to drop with Victoria Monet's partner. I was just like, oh, I see what y'all doing here. That was cute.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't seen any other ones except that one, but I think I like the strategy. It makes sense. It feels like it's on brand.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Yeah, it does.
Why is that not on brand?
Did you also see that she has announced that she secured investors for a studio in LA?
I did not see that, but I am very excited, you know, especially given.
She said, when I tell you we're ready, we're ready.
Okay, we ready.
In the recent cancellations of like all those shows exactly. that we were talking about the other week, I think she's looking to like take some more ownership in like the process. And I think this is a start in that direction. So it's going to be in South LA. And it's going to be known as, well, I don't know. Yeah. That's what we know so far. So let's keep an eye out for this. This is very exciting for her.
Yep.
She just keeps like going and going and going. And I
love that for her. Love that for her.
Cool. Are you ready for Guess That Spokesperson?
Yeah. Whose turn is it?
It's my turn.
Your turn to what?
To give you clues.
Oh, really? Oh, damn. Okay. I'll save this for next time then. Okay.
Is it my turn?
Maybe. I don't know.
Now you got me second guessing. All right. Yes, my turn to get the clues. All right. So the brand is David Yurman.
Okay.
You already know, don't you?
No, I don't. I can't remember the last time I saw a David Yurman ad. Now that I think about it. And I love that brand. So, but go okay. ahead.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give you, these clues are going to be cool. Gotcha. We've talked about this individual on the last episode.
Okay.
I'm almost 1,000% certain that they've been a Guess That Spokesperson before. This person is a new investor in the Formula One team Alpine and is the creator and co-founder of the Invesco QQQ Legacy Classic sports game.
What? The Invesco? Say that one more time.
Legacy Invesco QQQ Legacy Classic.
What is that? Is that a sports league?
That is a game. It is a game or a series of basketball, collegiate basketball for HBCUs.
Give me that first hint one more time.
We talked about this person on the last episode.
Okay, sorry. Give me what was the second hint?
New investor of Formula One team Alpine.
Okay. Is this person and that game, that HBCU game, is it played in New Jersey?
It has been played in New Jersey.
Is this person from New Jersey?
Yes.
Last question. Does this person drink sea moss?
I cannot confirm or deny, but I would assume.
You would assume based on our conversation last week? Okay, I'm going to guess it is Michael B. Jordan.
Great job. Awesome job. We gave it away, the HBCU game. Yeah, it's like there's no way. I mean, they're going to have to be easy in some way, because if I give you just a whole bunch of random, it'd be like,
no, you're right. We said we were going to revamp this one. So we can talk about that at a later date.
Cool. Well, who do you have for Going With Your Black Ads? And that ain't it.
Okay, so Going With Your Black Ads is going to have to go to Beyonce for All the Things. You know, anytime Beyonce's on the list, we're biased. I don't care. I'm biased.
I don't care. Consciously biased.
Yes. That ain't it. I got to give it to whoever booked Jennifer Hudson for All-Star Weekend. Sorry. Because what?
Okay, yeah, same. Going With Your Black Ads is absolutely going to the one and the only, the illustrious. Yeah.
Beyonce. Well, you know what? You know what? I have to, you know, I think it kind of has to be a shared Going With Your Black Ads, because Usher has kind of ruled the last however many months, too. I feel like not saying his name in like Going With Your Black Ass just feels wrong, just because Beyonce did something too, you know. Can we just give them both Going With Your Black Ass? Because Usher,
but Beyonce had the ad,
but Usher was the halftime performer.
Okay, you're right. Yes, Usher and Beyonce, yes, they share the title. I don't have a that ain't it. So I'm just going to piggyback on your J-Hud booking.
Trust me, it wasn't it.
Yeah. Well. Wow. Next question. All right, y'all. So that wraps this episode of With Your Black Ads. As always, thank you so much for tuning in. Please like, subscribe, and follow on YouTube. And share this podcast with your friends. Also, check us out at whatyourblackads.com. And until next time, we'll see y'all.
Bye.
Peace.
That's what the fuck I'm talking about. God. That's what I'm talking about. It was so black ass. It was black ass.